Welcome to the podcast of Lansdowne United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you're joining us online. Today's message is entitled The Reason for the Season and is based on Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. The speaker is Pastor David Jacobson. Last week we spoke about the person of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about a few roles that the Holy Spirit takes in our lives. In particular, we talked about the Holy Spirit as advocate, as comforter, and as helper. And we also spoke about how in the church year, we're still in the season of Easter. The resurrection has happened, and we're waiting for Pentecost, which is when the Holy Spirit comes. So we are in a season of waiting. And I just want to fill that out a little bit more. The church year essentially follows the life of Christ. We begin in Advent considering the promise of Jesus' coming. We celebrate Christ's incarnation at Christmas and then the coming of the Magi shortly after during Epiphany. And in the season after Epiphany, we follow Jesus as he begins his ministry. He's baptized and tempted, and then he goes out preaching and bringing the good news of God's kingdom. And after a time, he goes up on a mountain and he's transfigured before his disciples, at which point we enter into the season of Lent, focusing our eyes on the path toward the cross. Jesus is, we then enter into a season of mourning for a few days, and then we rejoice when Jesus is raised from the dead on Easter Sunday. Then during that Easter season, Jesus appears to his disciples for 40 days. And so on his Ascension Day, which we observe today, Jesus ascended into heaven to be with God the Father. Then after Pentecost next week, we enter into the season after Pentecost, which has the boring name of Ordinary Time, which really just means that we number the weeks and try to work out what it means to be a Spirit-filled church witnessing to Christ in the world. And I share that, all of that, because I think that the church year isn't just a convenient way for us to tell Jesus' story annually, although it does do that. The church year speaks to the reality that God gives us seasons in our own lives. And as we talked about with the children, they don't last the same time. Maybe some of them last a lot longer than we want them to. But each season has its own integrity, its own God-given integrity. And each season we have a purpose. And each season there is something to be striving toward. There's a reason for the season. There's an aim. There's a goal. Here's the thing about seasons. They come to an end. They don't last forever. There comes a time when God calls us to something new. And before anyone gets wondering, it doesn't mean I'm getting reappointed or I have some critical illness or anything like that. I'm really speaking generally here. We see the 12 apostles, for example. They go through these seasons of life themselves. Take Peter. God had him as a fisherman for a season. There was nothing glorious about it, but he was making ends meet. He, you know, what was his aim? What was his reason for this season? Well, food has to come from somewhere, doesn't it? And so his job was to get it for people, probably for his own family too. And there was nothing wrong with being a fisherman. And he was probably pretty good at it. But then Jesus comes along. And Jesus says, "Follow me." And so Peter leaves his nets and he follows Jesus. Being a fisherman was fine, but it would not have been fine to keep fishing once Jesus had called him to something else. He had to enter a new season of learning from Jesus, apprenticing with Jesus. When Jesus is arrested, Peter enters a brief but significant season of testing. And what's the goal? What's the reason for that season? To be faithful, of course, and to emerge stronger. Well, he's got some pretty major failures in that testing season. But God ends up using those failures anyway Peter has a season of mourning the loss of Jesus, mourning his own sin. But finally, Peter, I guess I should say, you know, just as we have seasons like Memorial Day, we have our season of grieving, and then we hope that God can move us through that to sustain us through the rest of our lives. And so what is Peter's aim? What's his reason for the season of Easter? Peter comes to a resurrection faith. You know, he's got to pick up his jaw off the ground, first of all. But what else? What other reason is there? Well, before Jesus ascends, he gives his disciples a command and then a promise. In verse 4 of Acts 1, which is just before where our first reading started, it says that while the disciples and the risen Jesus were eating together, risen Jesus is with them eating, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. How's that for an aim? Wait. Maybe that's not what they wanted to hear. But it is waiting with a purpose. There is a reason for that season. He said, this is what you heard from me. John baptized with water, but in only a few days, this is verse 5, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they kind of maybe question Jesus' purpose a little bit. And they say, well, is now the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? In other words, we thought this whole Messiah, King of Israel thing had kind of derailed, actually, when you died. But now that you're back, are we back on track? Is God going to be king over all the nations at last? And we want Jesus to answer that question explicitly. We expect him to say yes or no. Now is the time, or no, it's not the time. And in fact, the answer probably is a little both. He will ascend to heaven to reign over all creation at God's right hand, but at the same time, you're going to have to wait to see it in all the places and all times around earth. You're not going to get everything you want right now. You have to wait. Yes, we expect a straight answer, but Jesus doesn't give them that. This is basically what he says. So listen up. God's got it covered. Don't worry about it. You don't have to know the dates and the times of when your next season is coming. All you have to know is that you have a task right now. And your job is to be faithful to that task, Jesus is saying. And he says, here is your task. Wait. We want to know the when, but we only get the what. So why is this reason for the season to wait? Because the Holy Spirit is coming. He says in verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. A new season is coming, Jesus said. You're going to be my witnesses. You're going to testify to others about what you've seen and heard with your own eyes. You're going to tell others how I was dead and now I'm alive, and how God has lifted me up to a position of the highest authority. That season of witnessing is coming soon, Jesus is saying. But before that season, the season of mission and witness, Jesus says you need to enter into another season, a season of waiting and pursuing the Holy Spirit's empowerment. Now imagine you're Peter. You're still pretty fresh off of a significant failure in your discipleship. You denied Jesus 3 times to save your own skin. Thankfully, you serve a God who excels at bringing good out of bad. At the very least, your failure must have awakened you and the disciples around you to your need for more of God's power in your own life. God, how many times have we messed up? How many times have we been unfaithful? But that is a sign for us. It's a sign that we need more of God. We need God's help. Not a sort of empty optimism, but the real power of God, the Holy Spirit. And so when Jesus says, wait until you receive the Holy Spirit's power, it seems pretty likely that Peter would jump right on that and he'd say, yes, sign me up. I need the power of God. It's clearer to me than ever. I really can't do this on my own. The disciples are not equipped yet. They need to wait. They need God's power. And maybe you've heard the phrase before, God doesn't call the equipped. God equips the called. That's what's going on here. The call comes first. You will be my witnesses. And the promise comes with it. I will equip you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus doesn't send his disciples out before equipping them. He doesn't send them out before they're ready. Instead, he says, don't leave Jerusalem. Wait until the promise of the Holy Spirit has been fulfilled. I think about it like this. There's a, you know, the mother eagle wants her baby to fly. See where this is going. And when the baby is ready, she actually coaxes it a little bit. She'll coax it out of the nest. She'll drop a little food nearby maybe and see if the little baby eagle goes after it. But you know what happens when the baby doesn't come out of the nest when it's time? She pushes it out. She's not going to push them out until they're ready. That's not going to serve her purposes to have baby eagle. In the same way, Jesus doesn't push his disciples into witnessing before they're ready to do so. But when they're ready, it'll be time to witness. If they're ready and they're not witnessing, well, they might just get pushed out of the nest. I do wonder, though, if maybe the church has often pushed people in ways that Jesus didn't. I mean, how often have we heard Jesus calls you to witness, so get on with it. But maybe we're not ready. The problem is that without the power of the Spirit, it's not obvious to us how we could ever be empowered to witness. We don't hope for it. We don't want it. We're afraid that God will push us to places that we don't want to be, put us in situations we don't want to be in. All the while, we forget that when we're being faithful to the season we're in, we are in the will of God. And when we're in the will of God, that is the most fulfilled we can be as human beings. I went through a season in my life where I was called to be a computer engineer. I liked it. It was fun. I was good at it. And I did my best to be faithful to God in it. But when God called me to something new, there was not going to be any fulfillment in my life until I was faithful to that calling. Oh, God knows I had excuse after excuse. But the reality is that when I quit my job and went to seminary, God equipped me in ways that I could not have possibly foreseen. And God is fulfilling me in incredible ways. And that is the experience of every person who steps out in faith to be faithful to the new season of life that God is calling them to. What is the reason for the season that you're in? It doesn't take a call to quit your job and go to seminary. It doesn't take leaving to go on a missions trip in the Dominican Republic. What season are you in? Are you being faithful to your season? We are all called to move toward a season of witnessing. And just because you might not be ready to witness for Jesus yet doesn't mean you're off the hook forever. There are really only two possible seasons for a Christian when it comes to witnessing. One, we are in a season of Spirit-filled witnessing. Two, we are being prepared for a season of Spirit-filled witnessing. Perhaps for the first time, or perhaps simply due to the ebbs and flows and the practicalities of life. Maybe you've been in a season of mourning. Maybe you've been distracted in some way, and it's time to be faithful to the season that you're in. What does it look like to be faithful in the season of waiting? Well, it says in the last verse of our reading that during this time of waiting, the disciples were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. Why prayer? I mean, is it just because they're so holy and pious? They wouldn't be in the Bible otherwise. No, it's actually because they aren't. They need God's power to be witnesses to Christ. And they're not fooling themselves into thinking otherwise. They're not ready yet. They want to be faithful in the season that God has put them in, though. And so they pursue God's promise. They don't simply sit and wait. They kneel and wait. What do you think that prayer might have sounded like? Well, after Pentecost, the church has grown and is being threatened by the authorities. And so we actually have a prayer of the disciples. They don't pray for protection. They don't pray for safety. They pray for God's power to witness. In Acts 4, it says, they raised their voices together and prayed, grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And then it says that when they had prayed, the place in which they gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. God equipped them. God, Jesus made them a promise, you'll soon receive the Holy Spirit. And they don't just sit around, they pray. And God delivers on the promise. What season are you in right now? What season are you being called into? Are you being called to actively pray and wait to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Or are you called to witness to Christ in a particular area of your life? But wherever you are, whatever season you're in, don't we need God's power right where we are?